and Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
As we come now to your preached word, fill us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we may rightly divide the word of truth. Father, speak to me. Speak through me. Your word will go forth. We will leave here better people because we've heard from you. In Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Again, to the triune Godhead, Reverend Dearborn in his absence, to Reverend Slaughter, to our First Lady, Sister Green, Deacon and Deaconess. Don't our deaconess look good? Amen. Matching in with our deacons? Amen. God bless you. To these ministers of music, to this choir, God is just good. God is just good. Oh, that is so weak. God is just good. And that's better all of the time. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. Sister Sharenda Lewis and Brandon Breezley, will y'all stand just a minute? These two right here, we announced their future wedding on the 2nd of April. Amen. Well, my little sister finally doing it. Go ahead on, girl. God bless you. We are praying with you and for you. Chapter 11 of the Gospel according to St. John, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then we'll go down and read verse 32. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And then we go around to verse 32, and it says, then Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I want to talk on this thought, trust God's timing. God bless you, Ursus. Trust God's timing. Sister Randolph, God bless you. So good to see you, sweetie. Just give her a hand. Amen. Her and Ann. God bless you. Trust God's timing. God is not any way changed or affected by the course of time. For God, past, present, and future are united in an eternal present. God himself alone brought time into being. And God alone has the power to arrest, arrange, and close the course of time. For God exists, but he does not exist in any temporal location. In other words, God is not stuck in the past because he's here in the present. God is not limited to the present because he's still in the future. God don't have to meet you somewhere. He's already there, and he's not without leaving where he was before he get where you were. In other words, God don't have to leave the past to meet you in the present and to sustain your future. God exists in the past, in the present, in the future. And that's why it's good to stay in contact with God, because he holds the course of time in his hand. We are quick to go around screaming and hollering that time is on my side. Who lied and told you that? Your eyes are getting dimmer. Time is not on your side. Your steps are getting a little shorter. Your time is not on your side. Your breath is getting shorter. And you're getting slower. It's harder for you to get out of the bed, but easier for you to get in. It's not. Time is not on your side. But he who holds the course of time is God Almighty. Rather than holding God into the everlasting eternal, and therefore he exists at each time. His position is that God exists. He does not exist at any time, but he exists in all time. He's beyond time altogether. God exists the outside of time and not the inside of time. Because if God exists on the inside of time, then he will be confined by time. God exists on the outside of time, and then he controls time itself. Because time may limit us, but time won't limit God. God controls time because God created time. In the beginning of our time, that was the genesis in our life. But just because your beginning started here, God already existed before your beginning even was thought of. Before your daddy winked at your mama, God already existed. I wish I had somebody can testify. God is a God that already knows the future of your life. You may suspect what's going to happen, but God knows what's going to happen. And that's why, since we don't know what's going to happen, the only thing that we can deal with is the right now. So while you're waiting on a stimulus check to praise God when it could get lost in the mail. Oh, I forgot we in technology now. No, we got electronic draft rail. We don't mail it to us. We just, we got cash app. Well, it can still get lost. Don't put all your faith in technology. Watch this. While you're waiting on a reason to praise God, God already gave you a reason to praise God. Let me show you. While you're saying once, see, this is where we got it mixed up. Can I help you? We tell God, if you show me, then I'll believe. But then God said, if you believe, then I'll show you. You want God to prove to you he's God? God don't have to prove to me he's God. I know he's God because I should have been dead a long time ago. As low down and as wretched as I was, all the weed and dope I used to smoke, and yet he still got me home. Oh, don't y'all look at me. Don't you leave me on that limb by myself. Like you've been, the only thing you drank is water. You're going to lie in here. No, don't do that. Don't put me. God been good to all of us. Some of us been so drunk we watched a black and white TV in full color, but yet he still blessed you. And I need somebody to come on and testify and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. God hears your prayer before you even pray. When it's over for you, it's just beginning with God. And as we look at the text that is before us, Jesus, in his ministry, would move from city to city. But there was only certain places that he would lodge. And when he was in Bethany, there was a particular house that he would dwell. He would dwell at the house of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. My brothers and sisters, he would lodge there, and by lodging there, they became real close. But that was a word in the text that came to Jesus, told him that Lazarus, the one whom thou lovest, in verse 4, he's sick and he needs you to come. But Jesus says in verse 4, he says, well, he may be sick And they may be afraid he's dying, because in verse 3, they're actually begging him to come. But Jesus says in verse 4, wait a minute, this sickness is not unto death. But what he's going through is for God's glory. Wait a minute, Reverend. Now, I've read this text. Lazarus did die. But then Jesus says, even before death comes to Lazarus, that the sickness is not unto death. Let me help you. Jesus is saying that the death won't be the final state. And see, what's wrong with us, there are some things in our lives have died. And we think that it is the final state. But God says for something to be born, something has to die. And aren't you glad that there are some people, not physically, but emotionally and spiritually, have died off from you? And if you're not feeling that, maybe you're the one they're glad they left. Don't you know, I told them the other day, I am so thankful for some technology. Aren't you thankful for ID? There are some calls that come your way. Not today. You ever been in the grocery store and you're having a good day and you know the person in there always be getting on your nerves or have something bad and you'll dodge them? Let me move on. Let me get back to the text. Write this down. Number one, let's look at the problem. The problem was that they had sent word to Christ, Lazarus, the one whom thou lovest, is sick. Jesus received the word about his friend. He was weak. He was lacking of strength, and he was on the verge of death. And they were concerned. Mary and Martha were concerned about their brother, and who else to call on but Jesus himself? But when Jesus hears their urgent requests, he reacts in a surprising manner. Instead of getting up and walking the 5 miles as soon as he heard the news, Jesus said, we're going to hang here 2 more days. Wait a minute. What about he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Call on me in the day of trouble, and you said that you will answer. But can I tell you about trusting God's timing? Just because you called on him doesn't mean he's going to move as soon as you call. Because you, in your timing, God needs to come now. But in God's timing, he said, I'm going to wait later. Because if I come now and rescue you now, you might not glorify me as much as you should. But if I wait until you at the end of your rope, that all your resources is depleted and everybody have walked away from you, nobody won't return your call or your text, and now you don't know what to do, then I'll show up. Anybody can testify this morning, when you thought it was over, when you thought it wasn't going to happen, you thought you were at the end of your rope, you thought that this was it, I'm not going to make it any further, then God said, now it's my timing. Now I'm going to show you that I'm God. I know the doctor said you got 6 months, but I got 6 years for you. I know the people try to repossess your car. Let them take it. I got a brand new one waiting on you. I wish I had somebody. I had to lose some things to gain something. Yeah. Whew. Jesus waits 2 days. And upon 2 days, in verse 7, he says, let us go into Judea again. Now, Reverend Slaughter, this was a problem for the disciples. Yeah. Because the last time they was in Judea, they almost got killed. Because The Jews were waiting on the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus tells them that I am the Messiah. They called him a blasphemous and a sinner. And they picked up stones in Judea to stone Jesus and the disciples. And they barely got away with their lives. I know the disciples were saying, we ain't never going back there again. But then Jesus said, let's go back. The disciples said, wait a minute. Master, verse 8, Jews almost killed you last time we were there. And now you telling us to go back? And now we really want to know what's going on that we have to go back into Judea again. In verse 11, he says, the reason why we have to go back because Lazarus is sleeping and we've got to wake him up. Disciples said, hold up, man, wait a minute. If he's sleeping, he'll wake up eventually. Well, we got to risk our lives. It's right there in the text. Well, we got to risk our lives to go back in a place we barely got away from just to wake up Lazarus. I know you and Lazarus tight and all that, man. Well, we got to risk our lives for him. For if he's sleeping, let him sleep. He'll be all right in the morning. Jesus said, boy, Lord, y'all slow. He said, I didn't want to use the word death because nobody dies in my presence. But since that's what you understand, let me tell you, Lazarus is dead. That wasn't good enough for him, Brother Cooper. Thomas said, well, I see we ain't going to stop it. And I see we can't talk no sense in him. So let us all go and just die with him. Because I promise you, they're going to definitely kill him this time. You don't believe me? It's right there in the text. He said, let us go. Because in verse 16, Thomas said, they're definitely going to kill us. We're going to go and die with him. But little did they know really who they were walking with. You see, Jesus wasn't scared of death because he hold death. You see, the men didn't kill Jesus. He laid down his life. Watch this. That was the problem. The problem was he delayed on purpose. The problem was he was getting ready to go back in a place where the disciples barely left with their lives. And he said, we're going there for a brother because we're going to show them what God can do. And so things got worse. When Jesus got there, the problem escalated because Lazarus was already dead. And when Jesus, verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that they had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Don't you know Jesus could have healed Lazarus as soon as he got the news? Jesus could have spoke the word and Lazarus would have been healed and death would have never came into his body. But Jesus waited on purpose to let them put him in the grave, close up the grave. Just to reopen the grave to show them the power that he had. You know what? Jesus wants folk to give up on you. Jesus wants people to say you would never be nothing but a menace to society. Jesus wants you to say that you are good for nothing and you ain't no help for nobody. And when they say these things for you, won't he prepare a table right in the presence of your enemies? The same one that say, I never mount to anything, he'll bless you right in front of them. The same one that said, you ain't nothing, never will be nothing, don't care about nothing, he will bless you right in front of them. And sometimes, can I just be ebonic right now? Sometimes you got to be bold with it. When they criticized you and talked about you to your face and told you you wouldn't be nothing, and then when God bless you, you need to go find them same folk and say, what did you say about me? When you own your own business and they walking in your restaurant and say, what did you say about me a couple years ago? God. You got to understand that when Jesus came on the scene, Lazarus was already dead. And regardless of the Lord's reason for his delay, Mary and Martha were forced to watch Lazarus waste away and die. They were forced to watch his body and prepare his body for burial, lay him in the tomb, They were forced to feel pain, heartbreak, sorrow, doubt. They were forced with an impossible situation. And then Jesus shows up. Y'all not getting it. They called on the Lord at the right time while he still had breath in his lungs. Jesus didn't come, but when the graveside service was over, he shows up. Oh, come on now, don't. When you call on the Lord and he don't show up, but he shows up when the trouble has escalated, now you're going to show up. But they didn't know about God's timing. It made no difference what time he showed up. It was on time. It might have been late for them, but it was right on time for him. I wish I had somebody. God is never late. He's always on time. You may want him there at 7. God said, I'm going to show up at 9 because you're going to need me more at 9 than you're going to need me at 7. I wish I had somebody to testify. He didn't show up when I wanted him, but when he showed up, it was just when I needed him the most. He shows up. He shows up. Martha runs to him and says, oh, now you're here. Now you show up. We called for you, Lord. Where were you? Martha said in verse 20, soon as she heard that he was coming, she went out and met him, and Mary was still in the house. Martha said unto him, verse 21, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. We know that. We believe in you. We trusted you. If you would have came when we wanted you to, he would not have never died. So we had the problem, and now we're going to have the promise. Watch this. Jesus tells her in verse 23, thy brother will rise again. But look what she says before the verse. She said, I know you're not here. I know he's dead. But in verse 22, she said, but I do believe whatever thou asks of God, even now, he'll give it to you. Y'all just missed it. My brother is dead, been dead 4 days, but I do believe whatever you ask of God, even in this juncture in my life. Do you have an even now faith? God, I can't see my way through this thing, but even now, I believe if you speak, things can change. Jesus says, you're right, baby. Your brother will rise again. And then she says, Martha said, yeah, I know he will. Verse 24, she said, I know he will. In that great resurrection day. Jesus said, hold up, baby. In that great resurrection day. He said, sweetie, I am the resurrection. Why are you waiting on the day when the day has already showed up? See, while you waiting on God to do something, God have already done something. Preacher, I don't understand. I'm going through a hard trial, tribulation, and I'm going through heartbreak, and my mind is all confused, and I'm dazed, I'm bewildered, I'm battered, I'm hurting inside, and what? And you say, God has already done something. What has he done? He woke you up this morning. Can I bring y'all back again? Can I give y'all those 3 reasons again? Do you want those 3 reasons why you should praise God? Number 1, he woke you up this morning. Number 2, he woke you up this morning. Number 3, he woke you up this morning. And if that's not enough to praise God, there's no more help for you. He said, baby, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Though he was dead in me, yet shall he live again. No. And she said, Lord, I believe you. She said, I believe you. Even now, faith, I believe you. You promised me that he will rise again. Lord, I believe he will. But you got to understand Martha's situation. She was hurt. And when you're hurt, you can't think straight. So not only do we have the problem, not only do we have the promise, but then thirdly, we're going to see the power. Look at verse 32. After Martha approaches Jesus, Mary approaches Jesus. Now watch this. It's the same Mary that walked in the room with an alabaster box, washed his feet, and dried it with her hair. Watch this. When she first encountered Jesus, it was all about worship. But she's mad now. She ain't got no alabaster box in her hand this go around. She said, Lord, if you just would have showed up. And can I tell y'all something? Can I be real with you? Heartbreak can change the condition of your worship. Can I be real with you? It's hard to lift up holy hands when your heart is heavy. It's hard to stand on your feet and say, Lord, I thank you, when you're dazed and confused. Remember, I said it's hard, but I didn't say it's not impossible. Because you got people, regardless of what's going on in their life, has nothing to do with my praise with God. How many people in here got some things unsatisfactory going on in your life, but it ain't got nothing to do with my praise to God? It don't have nothing to do how good God has been for me. And I don't care who don't like what I do, how often I stand up in worship. If I get on your nerves, you got to tell the Lord, baby, you don't know my story. Don't tell me it don't take all of that to praise God. Yeah. Lest I hold you too long. Oh, ain't no football no more. Watch this. Here is the problem. Here's the power. Jesus was groaning in spirit. He was hurting because they were hurting. Jesus asked the question. Verse 34. He said, where y'all laid him? He didn't ask the question. It was a rhetorical question. He didn't ask the question as though they didn't know. He didn't know. He asked the question because he wanted them to go with him to the grave. He wanted them to witness that I'm not late, but I'm right on time. He said, where have you laid him? And in verse 39, they said, there he is. Jesus said, now, y'all take away the stone. And Brother West, I always wondered about this text. These people are grieving. These people are hurting. Why didn't Jesus move the stone for them? Jesus said, I'm not going to move something that I didn't place there. See, there's a lot of things you place in your life and you want the Lord to move. God said, I didn't put that cigarette in your mouth, but you want me to take it from you. You got to be willing to move from that. And listen, there are some people you got to walk away from. Everybody ain't your ace boon coon. Everybody don't need to be in your inner circle. You don't have to tell everybody everything about you. It ain't none of your business what's going on in my life. While you worrying about what's going on in mine and yours is raggedy. What's going on in my house and your house is filthy. If you mind your business and I mind my business and trust God to take care of both of our business, everything will be all right. Woo! Look, watch this. Jesus said, take away the stone. And then they said in verse 39b, the B clause, they said, we would, Lord, but he's stinking. Jesus said, I didn't ask how he smelled. Watch this, and I'm probably getting ready to go. They said, he stinketh. Jesus said, take it away anyway. Aren't you glad that Jesus won't let the stench stop him? The stench in your life, it won't stop him from loving you. The stench in your ways, it won't stop him from blessing you. And we all got some, I don't care how good you bathe, you still stink some way or another. We got some nasty ways. I'm kind of wish I had somebody. We got some, not just one or two. All of us got some low down, nasty, filthy ways. But aren't you glad? Not that he looked beyond. He saw what I was doing. He saw my faults and still gave me what I need. Jesus said, where have you laid him? And when they showed him, the Bible, the shortest verse in the Bible says, and Jesus wept. in verse 35. And while he was crying, he prayed for him. He said, Lord, you know I know you are there. As I paraphrase his prayer. He said, I'm not praying as though I don't know you're there. I'm praying for the benefit of those that are around.